four-fifths, item 1030-1.
Authorize the purchase of property located at 322 Southwest 11th Avenue, known as the Joyce Hotel, at a price not to exceed $4,220,000.
Commissioner Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor. The Joyce Hotel, roughly located at Southwest 11th and Alder, has been an important resource for our community, providing both short-term and low-barrier housing for people with limited housing options. This purchase will allow the Housing Bureau to rehabilitate and remodel the building and make necessary seismic improvements. The Portland Housing Bureau is purchasing the Joyce Hotel for $4.22 million. The building currently features 69 single-room occupancy units and ground floor commercial space. The rehabilitation of the Joyce Hotel will ensure the safety of the residents and contribute positively to the neighborhood. The Joyce Hotel has long provided transitional housing for vulnerable residents with limited options. So I'm honored that the Housing Bureau has the opportunity to add this essential community resource to our portfolio. As a city, we must continue to prioritize our resources to invest in the social safety net for Portlanders who are most vulnerable and at risk. I would like to recognize Dan Zilka, the owner of the Joyce Hotel, for his cooperation in selling it to us. Thank you to Ed Blackburn and Central City Concern for taking over management of the building during this transitional time. And I'd also like to thank Javier Mena, Carl Dinkelspiel, and the Housing Bureau staff for leading this important acquisition, and also thanks to Shannon Callahan and my staff for her work. And we have Kurt Krieger, our Housing Bureau Director, and Sean Hubert from Central City Concern, if maybe you want to say just a few words.
Mayor, members of council, we know your docket has run long this morning, so we'll be brief. In 2001, the city council adopted a no net loss policy, and there was over 1,000 market affordable units in that particular portion of the city in 2002. The Joyce Hotel constitutes 76% of the remaining market affordable units in the central city. So it's an uncommon opportunity and, frankly, a fleeting resource. We were approached by Mr. Zilka's attorney in January, and it took several months for us to consummate a deal, partly because there were he had a long-term property management company providing services to the property at the time, both for hostel stays as well as for long-term rental stays. We did make an offer on the property in the winter, which we considered to be a humanitarian gesture with all the tenants in place. And unfortunately, he made other business decisions which caused many people to be displaced. Those individuals were paid for and the relocation covered by our budget. So this is quite a different story because there are fewer than 20 residents remaining. I am pleased that Central City Concern has been handling the property on our behalf in this intermediate period of time. And Sean Hubert's here to discuss the actual operation of the property.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. My name is Sean Hubert with Central City Concern. I'd like to start by thanking the Portland Housing Bureau for their efforts to acquire and preserve the Joyce Hotel, as well as Commissioner Saltzman, to note our support of the acquisition of this critical housing resource. Homelessness is a complex issue. There are individual factors, such as poverty or job loss or addiction, and then there are structural factors, such as shifting and insufficient public mental health approaches. One of the most critical structural causes for homelessness is the loss of affordable housing. Between 1970 and 2000, the U.S. lost over 3 million low-income housing units, including a loss of over 2 million single-room occupancy, or SRO, housing units. These are typically the lowest barrier housing units available in a community, often offering daily or weekly rental options with low or no screening or application barriers. And not surprisingly, the increase in homelessness in this country largely mirrors this loss of affordable, low-barrier SRO housing. To provide some perspective, San Francisco lost 50% of their SRO stock over this time frame, LA lost 60%, Here in Portland, we've lost about 75%, while Chicago and New York lost about 90% of their SRO stock and saw homelessness dramatically increase. San Diego recently studied why they were climbing up the national homelessness rankings and attributed much of that climb to the loss of over 75% of their 14,000 SRO units starting in the late 1980s and escalating over the past decade. We know that there is a difference between the housing that the market delivers and affordable housing, which is why we invest in affordable housing. But there are also important nuances even within affordable housing, and we need a greater variety of affordable housing options if we're going to be able to meet the diverse needs, housing needs facing our community. The Joyce represents a critical and scarce option in that housing continuum. So what is the profile of someone living at the Joyce, and why has this kind of housing resource been so important to them? The average age is 51, about three-quarter are male, about one-quarter female. About 60% are white and 40% are people of color, mostly African American and Native American, and the average monthly income is just under $900. One of the residents has been living at the Joyce since last fall. The Joyce afforded him a housing opportunity initially on a week-to-week basis and later on a month-to-month basis, which he couldn't find anywhere else in the city, including some of the more traditional affordable housing options. He has two evictions on his record, significant health issues, and severe agoraphobia. The only other option for him had been a shelter, which exacerbated his symptoms. Recently, he was hit by a car and is recuperating from his injuries. He believes that had the Joyce not been available to him at that time, allowing him to move in despite the fact that he had lost his ID and could not navigate the typical leasing paperwork and approval process, he would most likely still be on the street today. In the short to medium term, the Joyce can be renovated and perhaps play a role as a relocation hub while we preserve other low-barrier housing options in the downtown and close-in, particularly as we move forward as a community with our resiliency and seismic improvement efforts. And over the long term, the preservation of the Joyce should be looked at as an important part of an overall strategy to develop and preserve a diverse range of affordable housing options that, taken collectively, meet the housing needs of all of our community members. Thank you.
Thank you both. Questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anyone want to speak on this item?
Two people signed up, Charles Johnson and Crystal Ilinski.
Okay. Johnson's still here. Come on up.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thanks for your time. It's a difficult issue to talk about because, you know, there are still 20-some residents trying to avoid homelessness there, but we also need to talk about bang for the buck. Earlier I mentioned a return on investment, and we're talking about $4 million to perpetuate a 69-bed flop house. Now, I'm pleased, sort of, to learn that it's coming under Central City Concern management. Although I think that housing activists, if we're really serious about our concerns, need to engage about the diversity of low-income landlords in the Old Town, Chinatown area. I know we opened up the Erickson, which is under a different organization, and there are some others in there, but if we believe, you know, we're kind of on the fence here in Portland about socialism and crony capitalism. If we believe in competition and 80% of low-income housing is done in that particular neighborhood through Central City Concern, you all are going to become the complaint department for those Central City Concern residents. The other issue that is problematic for people living these experiences on the street is at 333 Northwest 6th Avenue, the Westwind Hotel, which is fussier than the Joyce. They have premium bed bugs. Quite simply, if you were moral people, you would finally get back to eminent domaining the place. Everybody that lives in there is a victim of predation. When a person that gets a $700 a month check has to give up $500 to live in an SRO that's full of pests, the job is not getting done in as far as, you know, the level of service for, you know, we talked about these zombie houses and how some neighborhoods may or may not have a higher level of immunity. But I hope that the type of work that's being done for the Joyce and, you know, hopefully those people will move into more just living situations. Many people that stayed in the Joyce were in a similar situation where huge amounts of their paltry monthly income went to the Joyce's owner. He's not a saint. This is an extortionary deal. But equity means that there aren't just 20 or 30 or 69 cherry-picked winners in a pool of 3,000 homeless people. It's an awkward situation. I know there's no, you're not going to be able to respond with a perfect solution, but, you know, these issues, we can't forget about them and the people that are suffering in them. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Then this is an item we can take action on today, and we will. Roll call, please.
Saltzman.
Well, again, this is a vital asset, and it will provide much-needed housing in our downtown core for people of limited means. And it will also, as Sean Hubert from Central City Concern mentioned, provide us a staging area as other buildings in the downtown core undergo seismic renovations. We can move people in and out, and this is a great step strategically as well in terms of providing needed housing in our downtown core. Aye.
Novick.
Congratulations to Commissioner Saltzman and the Housing Bureau for pulling this off, and thanks to Central City Concern. Aye.
Fish.
You know, sometimes the most important work we do on this council gets the least commentary. And really, today, the room should be filled, Dan, with people to address this win for our movement. So a couple of things I want to just add. First of all, this reading about this in the press, it was sort of like the perils of Pauline. So the one thing about Dan Saltzman is that when he gets a bone in his mouth, he doesn't let go, and he's persistent. And it took a very persistent leader to get this deal done, because after all, the owner had no legal obligation to negotiate with us, which is one of the challenges generally with preservation. It takes a willing seller and a willing buyer. So, Dan, congratulations. This is a significant win for our movement. To the professionals at the Housing Bureau, having worked on preservation when I was the commissioner in charge, these are some of the most complex transactions, and we have a lot of talent at the Bureau. So congratulations, Kurt, to you and your team. And finally, I just want to acknowledge something about our value system as a city. And imagine that you're walking through downtown and you're at Director Park, one of our treasured places, and you look south at a historic building, a building that in almost any city might be high-end condos or the home of a foundation or many other things. Instead, some of the most impoverished and disabled people in our community live in the Admiral because this council said we were going to preserve it. If you walk from there and you head towards Providence Park and you come up to a an expensive hotel across the street is a historic building called the Bronno, which we have preserved in a very desirable neighborhood. And if you continue and you head down over to the brewery blocks and you get closer to all the activity that's happening along Burnside, you come to the Joyce. Now, the Joyce isn't yet an Admiral or a Bronno because it hasn't been renovated, and we haven't made that investment, which is part of what we do with preservation. But I think someday in the same breath, people will say the Bronno, the Joyce, and the Admiral. Buildings that provide decent housing for very low-income people in highly desirable parts of our city that in many other cities would have given way to a wrecking ball or to a high-end development, preventing people of limited means from having the choice to live in a desirable place. We believe in preservation. It fits our values. It is a less expensive option than new construction. It fits our sustainability values. But more than anything in this case, it ensures a stock of long-term affordable housing in a desirable part of our city, which is a cornerstone value of our housing agenda. So, Dan, congratulations, and to everyone who made this day possible. Bye.
Hales.
I've
been saying all along that the state of emergency means three things. It means rapid action, maybe not quite as rapid in this case, but you certainly tried to make it happen rapidly. Deliberate innovation and real money. This one's all three. And I really appreciate, Dan, your leadership and the great work here. This is a great save. It will do a lot of good in the world. Well done.
Aye.
We're recessed until 2 p.m.